Chapter 5. I decided to go to Wemmick's house for dinner. I didn't know what it was going to be like at Wemmick's house, but it wasn't like any other house I had ever seen before. Wemmick had built his own house, but it was more like a castle than a house. It was in Walmouth and was the biggest place I had ever seen. Wemmick's father lived with him. He was called the Aged, and he loved it when people nodded at him. I liked spending time with Wemmick. He was very nice away from Mr. Jagger's office, and we had a lot of fun together. After I had dinner at Wemmick's house, Mr. Jaggers invited me, Startop, Dummel, and Herbert to his house for dinner. Mr. Jaggers was not a nice man. He was able to bring out the worst in the people around him, and it wasn't very long until we were all arguing with each other. "Drummel, when are you going to give Startop back the money you borrowed?" I asked. "I gave it back to him," Drummel replied. "No, you didn't," I said. The whole dinner was like that. Mr. Jaggers seemed to like Drummel and called him the spider, but he also told me to stay away from Drummel. When I was at Mr. Jagger's house, I did what Wemmick said and watched the servant, Molly. She was very strange and very quiet. Mr. Jaggers showed us her hands and arms, which were covered with scars. I got a letter from Biddy that told me that Joe wanted to come to London to visit me. Mrs. Joe was very ill, but Biddy said she talked with Mrs. Joe about me every night and they wondered what we were doing. "I hope you won't mind seeing Joe, as he's a poor blacksmith and now you're a gentleman," she wrote. It was clear that Biddy thought I would be excited to see Joe, but she was wrong. I really didn't want Joe to come and visit, as I was embarrassed by him. I had new friends that were all gentlemen, and Joe was just a blacksmith. He wouldn't fit in with my friends, and I definitely didn't want Drummel to meet him. I didn't want Joe to come to London at all, but I couldn't stop him. He could come and visit the inn where Herbert and I lived, but I wouldn't take him to the Pocket's house. I had spent the money Mr. Jaggers had given me to make my room a bit better. I had some better things, and it wasn't dirty anymore. I had a servant, and I bought him nice clothes, but I really didn't have anything for the servant to do. He was always there, a bit like a ghost, standing around, because he didn't have anything to do. When Joe came to London, he was very excited to see me. I took him to the inn to meet Herbert and see where I lived. Joe was clearly uncomfortable in my rooms because they were so much nicer than anything he was used to. He thought the rooms were very fine. Too fine for a common blacksmith to be around. When he met Herbert, Joe didn't shake Herbert's hand because he was too much of a gentleman to shake the hand of a common blacksmith. Instead, Joe bowed to him. He didn't know what to think about my servant or how to talk to him. When he took off his hat, he didn't know where to put it. He put it on the side of the fireplace, but it kept falling down. I didn't know what to do to make Joe more comfortable. Fortunately, Herbert didn't stay for very long, and I was very happy when he left. When we were alone, apart from my servant, Joe sat down to have breakfast and told me all the news from the marsh. "Mr. Wopsle is not the clerk at the church anymore. He left the church to become an actor in London. He is here now. I went with him yesterday to a black bottle factory. It wasn't as good as the pictures of the factory made it look, sir," he told me. I didn't say anything in reply, but I didn't understand why he was calling me sir. "Mr. Pumblechook has told everyone in the village that he is the one that got you your fortune, and that you and he are best friends, sir," Joe continued. I didn't like the idea that Mr. Pumblechook was saying that he was my friend when I hated him, but I still didn't have anything to say to Joe. "I came to see you because Miss Havisham has a message for you, sir," Joe told me at last. "What is the message?" "Estella has come back and she wants to see you, sir," Joe said. The thought of Estella suddenly made me feel a lot better, and I wished that Joe had told me why he was coming to see me earlier. We hadn't finished breakfast, but now that Joe had given me his message, he got up to leave. "Where are you going?" I asked. Life has taken us in two different directions, sir, and that's just the way life goes, Joe said, and left. He didn't want us to go back to the marsh together. I set off for the village straight away, but I went to stay at the inn in the village instead of Joe's house. I wasn't a blacksmith boy anymore. I was a gentleman and couldn't go back to his house. The carriage ride back to the village was horrible. I wasn't alone in the carriage. There were two prisoners there too, and one of them was the man that had given me the money in the Three Jolly Bargemen. He was sitting opposite me. He spent the whole time breathing very heavily. So the whole way to the village, I felt his convict breath on me. The prisoner who gave me the money turned to the other prisoner and told him the story about giving some money to a boy in a pub a few years ago. It was the story about him giving the money to me. I was scared that the prisoner was going to recognize me as the boy, so I got off the carriage at the first stop. When I got to the village inn, everyone recognized me as the boy that Mr. Pumblechook had helped to become a gentleman. I was so excited about seeing Estella that I didn't care what they said. I went for a walk before I went to Satty's house to see Miss Havisham and Estella. As we walked, all I could think about was Estella. I loved her so much, even though I knew that I shouldn't. She was cold and horrible, but I couldn't stop loving her. I was a gentleman now, and she was a lady. I wasn't a boy anymore, and I was sure that I was going to marry her. I thought Hubert was right about Miss Havisham giving me the money and making me a gentleman, and she wanted me to marry Estella as well. After we got married, we could live in Satty's house with Miss Havisham, and the miserable house would be full of life instead of rotting food and cobwebs. When I got to the gate, Orlick came to open it. He was not someone I wanted to see. He said something horrible to me, and I said something horrible back before I went to find Miss Havisham. Miss Havisham was sitting in her room with a beautiful lady. It was Estella. She had grown up into a beautiful woman, and when I saw her, I felt like a little boy who wanted to get away from his family all over again. Estella and I went for a walk in the garden together. I told her all the stories I could remember about what we did together when we were little, but Estella couldn't remember anything about when we were little. She was colder than I remembered and didn't care about anything I had to say. I didn't care, though. I was more in love than ever because I was near her. I knew that anyone who was as beautiful as her had to have a heart. We walked into the brewery together. Estella was calling me boy and kept telling me that I was stupid. That's when I saw the ghost of Miss Havisham hanging from the ceiling. I gasped, but by the time Estella looked, it had disappeared. I am heartless, I have no heart, and will never love anyone, she told me. I don't believe you are heartless, I said. You are a silly boy, she told me. We went back into the house, and Estella went to get ready for dinner. Miss Havisham was waiting for me in the house. Pip, you will love Estella. Love her, she said to me over and over again. She told me that she had raised Estella to be loved and break the hearts of men. Mr. Jaggers came to Satty's house to have dinner. It was a very strange dinner. Afterwards, Estella, Mr. Jaggers and I played cards, while Miss Havisham put jewels in Estella's hair. Miss Havisham asked me to go with Estella when she went from London to Richmond in a few weeks. I was only too happy to agree to go with her. When I went to bed that night, all I could think about was asking Estella to marry me. I knew that there was no way that I could ever go back to see Joe, Mrs. Joe and Biddy. I was going to marry Estella and be a gentleman for the rest of my life. The next day, I told Mr. Jaggers all about Orlick, and he promised that he would get rid of him from Satty's house. I was worried that Orlick might try to hurt me for getting him fired, but Mr. Jaggers was not a man to wait to do things. As I got ready to leave the village, a boy followed me around town, making fun of me for being a gentleman and too good for the village. He wouldn't stop following me or making fun of me, and I felt horrible by the time I got back in the carriage to go home to London. When I got home, I went to find Herbert to tell him all about Estella and how much I loved her. "She is beautiful, but I don't think you will ever get married to her. Miss Havisham doesn't want you to marry her," Herbert told me. I didn't know what to say, but I believed Herbert. He then told me about a girl called Clara that he was in love with. Herbert wanted to marry her. She lived by the sea, and her father was in shipping. Herbert thought it was a good way to go after his dream. The girl was nice, and the only problem was Mrs. Pocket didn't like her. But Herbert didn't care what his mother thought.